Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
I respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, the Whadjuk Noongar people of Western Australia, and pay my respects to elders past and present. It's a privilege to be standing on Whadjuk Noongar country. I now declare the meeting open and thank you. Thanks to the members of the public for their attendance. Are there any apologies?
No, Chair Commissioner.
Thank you. Open now for question time from the public. Are there any questions?
Mr Chair, I have one on notice which I'll read both the question and the answer.
Thank you.
The question is from Denise McClements of 52A Whitnoom Street, East Perth, in relation to item 7.1, lot 115, Whitnoom Street, East Perth, renovations to an existing two-level dwelling, including an addition of a third level and a deck above the existing garage. The question, dear Commissioners, we were advised Monday 26 March of a special council meeting Tuesday 27 March where a proposed renovation to our neighbouring property will be discussed. We have read the recommendation and still have a number of concerns. This recommendation is lacking the details we require to understand the impact of these changes on our property. We have not been given an opportunity to see any revised plans or to speak with the city architect who has recommended these changes. At the planning committee meeting on Tuesday 6 February, the development was approved with a number of conditions. These have subsequently changed and or been removed following discussions between the owners and the city architect. Some of these proposed changes were communicated to us by City of Perth staff in writing, but these do not appear in the revised recommendation. We would appreciate postponement of this decision until we have had an opportunity to fully understand these amendments. We feel that we have not been afforded the same opportunity as the property owners to discuss this with the relevant City of Perth staff. We hope you can understand that this renovation will have a major impact on our lifestyle. The answer. The City is aware of the concerns you have regarding the impact of the application for alterations and additions to the house at 52B Whitnoom Street on the amenity of your property. Your initial submission detailed your concerns and you also had the opportunity to make a deputation to the Planning Committee on 6 February 2018, at which you further explained how the development could impact on access to light and disturbance from noise from the operation of the proposed lift and use of the roof deck above the garage. The Planning Committee made its recommendation to the Council meeting of 13 February 2018, incorporating an additional condition and advice note to specifically address your concerns. At the Council meeting, the matter was referred back to the Planning Committee. As the officer report explains, following the Council meeting, the applicant and the City's officers discussed design options to address the matters that you and the Planning Committee had raised. The City's officers considered that, even though the proposed boundary wall complies with the relevant design guidelines, the concerns raised regarding natural light to your courtyard could reasonably be addressed by making two minor changes to the current design. The first is to reduce the height of the boundary wall to match the height of the new roof canopy. The second is to reduce the height of the lift shaft so that it does not extend above the proposed boundary wall. The applicant did not agree with the options that were suggested and consequently the plans have not been amended from those that you previously viewed. Notwithstanding, the City's officers considered these matters should be addressed as a condition of any approval. Therefore, condition one of the officers' revised recommendation reads, the boundary wall on the eastern elevation being reduced in height to match the height of the roof canopy on the eastern boundary and the height of the lift shaft being reduced to match the height of the new eastern boundary wall to achieve improved light penetration into the courtyard of the adjoining dwelling at 52A Whitnoom Street. This condition also replaces the need for the advice note that the Planning Committee previously added. The remaining conditions reflect the Planning Committee's previous recommendation, including Condition 2 that the Committee added that states, the new lift being designed and located to ensure that there is no transmission of noise or vibration to the adjacent property at 52A Whitnoom Street. The Commissioners have now replaced Council. A special Council meeting, tonight's meeting, has been arranged for 27 March 2018 to deal with more urgent matters that had not been determined by the Council prior to its suspension. As explained, there are no revised plans to view. The plans are as originally submitted. However, if granted approval this evening, the plans will needs must be modified as per the proposed conditions, and the details of those amendments will have to be cleared by the city prior to development being constructed.
Thank you, Mr. CEO, and I also understand there's been a verbal contact with the correspondent, is that correct?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I believe that the question, I've read it into record, noting that the questioner has already received communication from the city and is actually satisfied with the answer that's been given.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from the public gallery? If not, thank you. Are there any disclosure of members' interests? No, thank you. We now move to matters for which the meeting may be closed. So are there any matters for which the meeting may be closed, Mr. CEO?
Mr. Chair, confidential attachments at 73A and 73B, 74A, 75A, 7.6A and 7.6B, 7.A and 7.8D. Commissioner wish to discuss those items, recommended that the meeting go behind closed doors.
For that item or items concerned?
Should you wish to discuss the attachment itself? The item itself remains in full view.
Okay. So before I move on, I'll ask any from the commissioners, do they wish to discuss any matters on the attachments to items, discuss attachments 3A and 3B? 73A and 73B? Okay. Confidential attachment 74A. Okay. Confidential attachment 7.5A.
No, Chair.
Okay. Confidential attachment 7.6A and 7.6B.
No, Chair.
Good. And confidential attachment 7.8A and 7.8D.
No, Chair.
Okay. In that case, I think that's all of them. There's no need to go behind closed doors to discuss those items. Thank you very much, Commissioners. So I now move to the reports. Then straight report 7.1 relating to 52B Whitnam Street, East Perth. Any questions or comments to be made by Commissioners?
No, Chair.
No. So moved, Chair.
We have a deputation.
We have a deputation, okay. I understand. So I'll hear the deputation now, if there is one. Thank you.
Hi. I'm Tina Lewis. I'm the owner of the property at 52B Whittingham Street. I was always going to make an amendment to my property, given that I never built the way everyone else in the Block of Eight ever did. So when I made these designs, I made them with all the rules, regulations, and how everyone else in the street has built under precedence. And they haven't changed since we were allowed to build back in the early 2000s. I think it was 2003. The reason I'm doing it now is because the neighbour at 52A had already put in a complaint to council regarding our air conditioner, which we had to remove from the wall of our house down to the floor. And I spoke to an acoustic engineer at the time who advised me that to minimise any noise to that neighbouring property, I would need to build preferably a brick wall, because that's the best for noise, to the height of at least their bedroom window, which is at the back of the property, which adjoins the outdoor or the proposed outdoor space. I took this into account when I was designing with my building designer all of this. As I wanted to put a pool in, it reduced the outdoor space on the ground floor, so I went up. When the plans were put to the Planning Committee in February and they were approved with the amendments, and when I read them, I realised that I wasn't sure if the Planning Committee was aware that they were actually discussing a 1.1 metre by 4 metre opening, which is the reason that is because their bedroom window, their bedroom wall goes back beyond my garage wall by about 2.9 metres. So the opening that's currently there is 4 metres from my house to my garage wall. They take out their bedroom wall and the lift shaft goes in at 1 metre. It actually ends up with a 1.1 metre by 4 metre opening. Given that I knew noise was going to be an issue for that particular neighbour, we decided to build the wall up as high as we could, not beyond their roof line at the back so that it didn't overshadow them, which was the whole reason of where it stopped, and the lift shaft went up further. The lift shaft, and I don't think in the original plans the lift shaft shows that it will be a double brick wall, so the wall will be built and then the lift shaft will be built over that so that there will be a double brick wall to minimise the noise of the lift shaft. Our proposal was to have that wall in white, probably rendered white or something similar, so that they actually got some light coming in, so we didn't detract from all of their light. The reason I haven't changed the plans after speaking to the City of Perth architect was that by reducing the height of the lift shaft, knowing that the neighbour has issues with noise, with privacy, etc., if I reduce the height of the lift shaft down to where they want it to be, it would actually make the top floor open to noise issues going straight down into the neighbour's courtyard. It would also, hopefully not, but there may be an issue that if someone went to the bedroom window on the top floor, that they potentially could see straight into the neighbour's bedroom window, which actually looks over their courtyard. For me, it would be a concern, given that the neighbours already expressed noise issues, privacy issues, and all of that, that I just want to make sure that I don't have any comeback when I do build this renovation for a room. And also, I built the lift shaft so that it looked like it was a part of the design, hence the reason it went up to the roof line, rather than just looking like it was a box on the side of a building that was tacked on at a later date. I haven't overshadowed, as the guidelines actually give me, I think, 3 stories and a loft, so I haven't by any means gone to the extreme to overshadow the particular neighbour, because I don't think that's fair. But precedence in this case, and what I used to justify my design, was that 56 Wittenoom Street is a two-storey house with their courtyard in roughly the exact location of 52A, and they have at 58 a three-storey wall, being as that is actually, they have actually gone 3 levels on that particular property. When they were up for sale, I went in and had a look to see what the impact of the light was, and the light in that courtyard is actually, it was fine. I mean, I didn't see any difference to what I get in my house during the day. 58 also, being as they're a three-storey, their courtyard's in the same spot, and they also at 60 Wittenoom Street have a three-storey wall built, and theirs also does not seem to detract from the light. So hence, precedence in the area. I do want my lift to look like it is a part of the house rather than just added on. And I don't know how else to come up with a plan that will appease the neighbours with noise, allow them privacy and also give us privacy, and also to maintain light. I just don't know how else we can do it and keep a nice design. And, you know, the other neighbours don't have an issue, and I have spoken to them, and they have said that if there is an issue, they will come to me, discuss it, and between us all and council, we can overcome any issues. So I really would like to leave the design as it is. I mean, if I have to remove the height of the wall, then I suppose that's going to have to be. But I would hope that I can maintain the design that I originally put in. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now I have a second deputation from Mr. Pappas. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. Thank you. So, on that case, that concludes the deputations, Mr. CEO. Move to then formally to item 7.1. This is an agenda before you. Perhaps before we deal with this, the staff want to make any comment on what has been said, because the reason I ask that is I understand from what the deputation has said, but also understand what the previous concerns of the neighbour were, which appear to be resolved. I also note there's been a very significant and comprehensive report before the commissioners, which I think addresses the issues raised by both parties, but I'd like to defer to whoever's... Mrs. Murphy, over to you, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, this application has been evolving, as the applicant stated, originally in response to noise concerns from an air conditioner, and it's sort of expanded from there. Certainly what the officers have been attempting to do is to achieve a balance whereby the applicants can still proceed with the overall design and concept that they've come up with, but at the same time trying to reduce any amenity impacts on the neighbours as far as possible. The reference to the heights of walls and precedents set in terms of courtyard designs and so forth in that row of houses along Whittenham Street, I think one thing to take into account is that those dwellings were all originally built like that. So from the time of occupancy, there's been that level of amenity or environment that people have been used to. In this situation, the boundary wall between the courtyards of these dwellings is essentially a standard boundary fence height. And it's the impact of that change of wall height that the neighbours are particularly concerned about. The proposal to reduce the lift shaft height and the wall height as applied for, that's been put forward through the consideration by our city architect. He is of the opinion that the issues of privacy and noise can still be reasonably addressed, while the reduction in height will enable the greater penetration of direct light into the courtyard. We certainly understand the point of view of the applicants. We understand they're trying to address initial complaints from the neighbours, and now they're trying to balance further complaints arising from the design itself. So they've been faced with some challenges. But in the officer's opinion, condition one can still stand, enabling this development to go ahead, still protecting privacy issues between the neighbours, addressing noise, but not having such an impact on light penetration.
Good. Thank you for that. Are there any questions of the staff from the commissioners?
No.
No.
Thank you. I'll move the recommendation, because notwithstanding the deputation and the previous correspondence that the CEO referred to, I think this is a very balanced approach. And whilst obviously the applicant can appeal to this statutory appeals tribunal, I think having considering all the issues raised and the nature of the scheme and the relevant other provisions, planning provisions, that is, in my view, under all the circumstances, is a balanced outcome. So accordingly, I'll move accordingly. Do I have a second?
I'm happy to second that, Chair.
Mr. Hammond, do you wish to speak to this at all, Commissioner? Okay. In that case, I'll put the recommendation to the vote as is. Those in favour? The recommendation is carried unanimously. We now move to item 7.2. proposed street name for driveway access in Western Hotel at 480 Hay Street. Can I just say, Mr. CEO, that I'd like to see a policy to give delegations to staff on these matters. I don't think this is such a great moment for Commissioner's consideration. It's pretty straightforward. The report is balanced and obviously logical in terms of its comment and its recommendation. That's my point of view, but I'll ask the Commissioners if they have any questions of staff on this matter.
No questions, should me.
No questions.
I'd be happy to move them.
Thank you. As leaving the recommendation. Thank yes. you. Seconded.
Thank you, Chair. I note your comments. Just make one point, if you don't mind.
Yep.
There is an error on page, a spelling error, page 18 of 67, which could change it slightly. Comments, second paragraph, should be formally, as in F-O-R-M-A-L-L-Y, not formally. Just might get some confusion there. And also I'd draw your attention to the fact that this is a little unusual, and hence one of the reasons we do bring these items forward from time to time. But noting your comment, we'll be pleased to amend delegations moving forward.
I mean, the point I will make on delegations, it doesn't stop if the administration feels it necessary to still bring an item before the council, notwithstanding the delegation.
Noted. Thank you.
So I have a move and a second, and I don't dissent. I support the recommendation, so I declare the recommendation endorsed accordingly. Move to item 7.3, a tender for fibre optic data and communication services. Recommendation there is to accept the most suitable tender, etc. Are there any questions from commissioners?
No, Chair.
No.
Okay. Someone happy to move the recommendation then, please? Commissioner McMath, seconded. Commissioner Hammond, there's no dissent. Declared recommendation endorsed. Move to item 7.4, tender relating to waterproofing of stage one of the Perth Concert Hall. Any questions on this matter from commissioners? Yes.
I have a question, Chair. Yeah. My question relates to the ability to deliver this work without unnecessarily interrupting the operations of the concert hall, and the level of consultation has been with the users of the concert hall to that effect.
Good, thank you. Could someone answer that question, Mr. CEO?
Chair, through Chair, as I've mentioned, the Director of Construction and Maintenance is on some leave at the moment and is being acted into position Martin Copeman. However, I can comment from experience with the concert hall that our entire capital works program has been predicated on fitting into gaps in the operations and presentations of the concert hall. And unless Martin's going to disagree with me, I believe this has been the same case here as well. We consulted very closely with the operators and made certain that, as in the previous works we've completed down there, that we fit into the event schedule, and hence why some of our capital programs have been in particular windows.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. I note in your comment, the staff has said there's a small window of opportunity. So obviously there's an opportunity there. Does that answer your question, Commissioner? Any other questions of the staff on this matter? If not, Commissioner, happy to move the recommendation, please? Commissioner? Okay.
Second.
There's no dissent. Endorsed accordingly, the recommendation. Now move to item 7.5, which relates to a new lease, Shop 1 Pier Street Car Park, 88 to 96 Murray Street, Perth. Any questions on this matter from commissioners?
No questions.
No questions.
Okay. So in that case, I'll move the recommendation accordingly. Do I have a seconder, please?
Second.
There's no dissent. I'll take it on this, Mr. Hatt. Thank you. In that case, I declare the recommendation endorsed. Excuse me. Item 7.6, tender for marble facade and concrete repairs. Council House. Any questions on this matter from commissioners?
No questions.
No questions. No.
I have none. Someone happy to move the recommendation then, please?
Seconded.
Yeah, I've moved.
Commissioner Hammond, seconded. Commissioner McMath. There's no dissent. Endorsed the recommendation. Has been carried. 7.7, compliance audit return 2017. Gee. Getting your cough, Commissioner.
Apologies.
Any questions on this compliance audit return?
Through you, Chair, I'd just like to put a minor amendment to this motion just to qualify some of the concerns raised at the Audit and Risk Committee.
Okay, just before you do that, I'll just recall that the CEO has something to bring to the attention on this matter to the Commissioners.
Thank you, Chair. It may not fully address the Commissioner's comment, but if you wouldn't mind referring to the Director of Corporate Services, it does have a slight amendment to request to the piece. Robert?
Thanks, CEO. I had an email inquiry on Friday from Commissioner Hammond, so maybe I can add some detail to that, which might address the concerns raised. So on Friday afternoon, I met with our internal audit team to run through the questions. So in relation to the compliance audit return, the first question in relation to commercial enterprises by local governments, Commissioner Hammond had a query as to why we had NA there and then some comments. So I can confirm that the answer is correctly stated as NA. There were no business plans prepared for during the calendar year 2017. The comment there, I guess, has been added by our internal audit team to provide a bit of context. So as a result of the Deloitte report back in June 2017, work was undertaken on a draft business plan in relation to our CPP business. Now, that plan was never presented to council, and the intent is that that plan will actually come before commissioners at some time in calendar 2018. So my suggestion is that if the commissioners are happy, we can either delete the comment, because if the response is NA, we're really alluding to something that probably relates to next year's return. So suggestion is we delete the comment in relation to question one, but leave it at NA.
Okay, thank you.
There was another question as well in relation to the finance section of the return. So that is page 54 of the agenda, question 7. So this one does require correction. The answer as responded as yes, should be amended to NA. The internal audit team have noted two minor issues there in relation to the audit completed for 2016-17. We've subsequently reviewed the legislation under section 7.91 of the Act, and the two references made were actually covered in a management letter from the auditors, not actually incorporated as part of the statutory audit report. So in our view, the reference to those items is not required. It doesn't actually apply to that section of the Act. I guess they were proceeding on the side of caution by including those in the comments, and therefore they answered the question yes. But if you look at our statutory audit report for that year, you'll see there are no issues raised, so the answer should be NA and the comment removed.
Just so I'm clear, what is the item number you're referring to?
In the finance section, item 7, right, of the finance section of the compliance audit
That's
assessment.
That's what I thought you were referring to, but just making sure, because there was a number, section 7.2A.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully that answers Commissioner Hammond's queries.
We'll see. Commissioner Hammond.
Well, yes and no. Look, I think that there's issues in relation to the compliance return that I raised at the Audit and Risk Committee, and one is obviously the number of matters that aren't complied with. But the realities are whatever box is ticked in the compliance assessment return, whether that be no, yes or not applicable, as a member of the Audit and Risk Committee, I would preempt that I would like to move the following three issues. The first one is that qualified by the City of Perth car parking operations are not covered by a duly approved and council endorsed business plan, and I believe that to be a statement of fact.
Correct, Mr. CEO.
In terms of the requirement that we have that compliance issue, no, there's not a compliant case.
Thank you. The City of Perth does not have a functional or integrated asset management strategy that carries the level of financial detail necessary to accurately inform its medium and long-term financial planning functions.
Comment, Mr. CEO?
The comment I think has been made before that we are well advanced in that.
I'm aware of that.
There is no final council endorsed document, if you like, approved in full, albeit that in my opinion we are using what we have to date to plan our asset renewal program, and it is far superior to where we were some 12 months ago, but accept that it is a journey that's not complete.
Yes, that. Look, I don't make that as a criticism of staff. I make it as a member of an audit and risk committee, where if something is disclosed in the future or happens in the future, the members of the committee are going to be asked, well, what was happening then? Well, the qualifications are there. It is acknowledged that work is being done and good work is being done with these areas. However, as you say, CEO, there is a way to go.
Thank you. Any other points you wish to raise?
No, Chair.
So, having regard also to the previous advice received from staff, I'd accept a motion from you, Commissioner, that along the lines you've mentioned, but also I think that we should ensure that the comments made by the staff are also reflected in the audit report accordingly. So you'd add that as another point to your recommendation, if you care to read that motion out again.
Sure, that it's the officer's recommendation with the following qualifications. I've got this typed down, Mark. If you,
no, but read it for
us. Yes, certainly. The City of Perth car parking operations are not covered by a duly approved and council-endorsed business plan, as is required by Section 359 of the Local Government Act 1995. The City of Perth does not have a functional or integrated asset management strategy that carries the level of financial detail necessary to accurately inform its medium and long-term financial planning functions, and that the comments and justifications of staff be included into the minute.
Into the audit return.
Yeah, into the return, yeah.
Okay, do I have a seconder for that? Sorry, do you want to make a comment?
If I may, please, Chair. I'd like some clarification, please, with respect to the audit report and the management letter. In my experience, they are of one. It's a communication from the auditors. So, therefore, the position with respect to splitting those out and the response is not applicable, please. Could I have some elaboration on that?
Comment, Mr. CEO, or relevant staff member?
I have to refer to Robert on that. He's got the detailed knowledge around the
order. Answer that. So the management letter was a standard management letter you get from auditors each year. In my view, it's not covered by that relevant section of the Act. The Act refers to a report that's encompassed in your annual report. So I think, as I explained previously, I don't believe there's a requirement to include comments made in a management letter in that section of the compliance audit return.
Okay. So I have. Are you satisfied with that answer, Commissioner McMahon?
Well, if that's the answer to the technical question about where the recommendations were communicated, I accept that.
Right.
However, I think we need to make sure that we don't miss the benefit of what is included in management letters as an opportunity to address issues or improvement.
Thank you. So having said that, and bearing in mind I do have a motion before the Chair, are you happy to second Commissioner Hammond's motion?
I am.
Okay, I'm happy to support that motion. So declare that motion as read by Commissioner Hammond, which includes the other information offered by the staff, is endorsed accordingly.
Chair, may I make just another comment?
Yeah, sure.
To, perhaps put some context on items 1 and 2, in particular around the business case for the business undertaking for CPP. I think we've discussed before, it was something that was highlighted in the organisational compliance and capability assessment that we conducted. It is something that was brought to our attention through that process. We were in the process of bringing it to the table, but recognised at that time that near compliance and the box tick was probably not the intent of legislation, so we actually will be putting in front of commissioners a much more robust, if you like, business case and proposal for commissioners to consider for the business as it moves forward, particularly in the discussions we've had around what that might look like in some medium term future. And in respect to the asset management program, again, I'd like to again stress that, and particularly for the comfort of ratepayers, I'd suggest that our asset renewal program is now far more robust based on facts and data that's been arrived at by the appointment and application of asset management principles, accepting that we don't have a final 100% document endorsed at council. We do have a far more robust asset renewal process to the point where we've changed several long-standing practices which were, in my view, inefficient and resulted in perhaps expenditure not required, and we've reallocated resources based on that factual data. So taking the point, noting the point, but recognising that we have made significant progress.
Just so I can clarify this for the gallery, the Commissioners acknowledge what the CEO said and what has been said to us as sitting as the Audit Risk Committee. However, this is a certified compliance return. The return has to be a statement of fact in answer to the questions. Now, the question, it has to be yes, no, or not applicable, and they have to be accurate. It doesn't stop the administration putting other appropriate comments on the column. But what Commissioner Hammond has said is strictly correct. And because at the end of the day, this is not an administration report, this is a council report. And we're the ones who are accountable for signing this off and being accountable for the information. So that's why we may be being seen as a bit pedantic, but equally we're complying with the law. So I hope that, because I don't want that taken out of context. What was the decision? Okay. So,
look, just to clarify that matter,
Just a second, please. This is being carried, so I understand.
Correct.
There's no further discussion on the item. Thank you.
Okay.
We'll now move to agenda item 7.8, tender for tree growing supply and installation. Any questions of staff from the commissioners? Okay. Happy? If the commissioners are happy with the recommendation, I'm also prepared to move the recommendation accordingly. Do I have a seconder? Commissioner Hammond, no dissent. I declare the recommendation endorsed as outlined in the report. That then takes us to the end of the agenda, I think, Mr. CEO.
Correct.
Thank you. In that case, I declare the meeting closed and thank the gallery for their attendance.
Thank you.